Dad preached the Word of God and encouraged his viewers and listeners to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, honor him, and have a personal relationship with him. Today's message, Jesus, the Only Way, expresses that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the only route to God and heaven.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And today we're going to have a sermon, The Only Way to God, The Only Way to God. And you say, that sounds kind of narrow. Well, maybe it is. So you just stay with us, and we'll talk about it for a while. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. We're just so happy to get letters from people, and we hope that you'll write. So maybe you get your pencil and paper out, and then at the close of the service, I'll give you our address. We'll keep it a secret until the end of the service, and then we'd like to hear from you. But here's a letter from Lakeland, Florida, and they write, "You really encouraged me through the years. I am 85 years old and have buried all of my boys, 4, and a husband. I am so sad all the time, but I'm still going for God every day. God has given me the opportunity to lead even my great-grandchildren to the Lord. God bless you. Keep preaching." Now, here's a lady could be bitter. She said, "Oh, God, I did the best I could for you. You took my husband. You took 4 sons. I'm done with you." Well, she's hurting. But she said, "I still love God, and I'm telling people about Jesus, and I'm coming to my own grandchildren, my own great-grandchildren. I have great-grandchildren. They are so precious. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you just can't, you don't know how you could love them so much." And she led them to Jesus. And that's what these dear old grandmothers are doing, leading to Jesus. And then here's one from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they say, "Please send us 1 more DVD, The Heart of a Shepherd. We gave ours to an unsaved neighbor. Please pray for him, your Oakey friends." And that's what we want you to do. And what better could you give for Christmas than to give them this DVD, The Heart of a Shepherd. And it tells the way of salvation, shows how people can pray to accept Jesus and find everlasting life. And so you just write to us, and we'll give you the address. And if you can pay for it, all right. If you can't pay for it, that's just fine. And you can give it to your neighbors and your friends. And you can be a missionary and help people come to know the Lord. Here's Selma, Virginia. "I'm not a person with words, and I've been praying about how to witness to others when I don't have the words. When you tell about this film you have, Heart of a Shepherd, Maybe God led me to your program and answered my prayer. I'd appreciate it if you'd send me this film, if possible. I'd like to have an extra one for my church." And so here she says, "It's hard for me to witness to others, but I can give them this film, and it'll witness for me and tell the whole way of salvation and how this little 10-year-old boy accepted Jesus." Then one more. And here, this is from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this person writes, "I did everything wrong in my life. I don't know what will become of me." Well, I can tell you what's going to become of you. You're going to come and you're going to accept Jesus and go to heaven, or you're going to reject Jesus and you're going to go to hell. That's it. Oh, you say, isn't that terrible? Hate talk. Hate talk, that's love talk. That's what God says. And he says it because he's warning us. Listen to what he says. It's in John 3:36. Jesus said this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's heaven. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abides on him." That's hell. So where are you going to be, in heaven or hell? Your choice. Your choice. You'll just say, take Jesus or reject him, that's all. And so when you talk about, oh, you shouldn't talk like that, that's terrible talk. Well, that's what God gives us here. And I'm going to tell you, it's love talk. It's love talk. I had cancer in 1990. That's almost 28 years ago. And I went to the doctor, and he says, "You've got cancer, and it's gone through the wall of your intestine, and we're going to have to give you chemo. I took chemo for a year. Now, that doctor could have patted me on the back and says, "You're doing just fine. You just look great. because cancer doesn't, at the start, you don't feel it. It sneaks up on you. It doesn't hurt you. See, it just grows. And I was growing through my intestine, my body. And where will it go? It'll kill me. And so he says, you've got cancer. That's the nicest thing he could tell me. Thank you, doctor. Thank you. If you wouldn't have told me, I would have died. And when I tell you the word of God, when Jesus says this, he says, I'm telling you so you won't go to hell. You have to have Jesus. He's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so you need to pray. And you just ask Jesus, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from them the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. And you'll never be perfect, but you'll try to be perfect. And when you fail, just ask him to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. Oh, we thank you for the letters. But now look at what we're going to look at today in our sermon. And we have an Archbishop William Temple of London, a century ago or maybe more, had made a statement. And this is what he said. It is now generally agreed that Jesus of Nazareth was a marvelous, miraculous figure making stupendous claims. And that's truer words were never, ever spoken before. He was a stupendous person, a miraculous person, and he made stupendous claims. So what a person he was. Look at Jesus for a minute. He walked among men. He always demanded their attention. He moved through the world of that day. He was constantly observed. Enemies and friends alike scrutinized him every time and looked on for every flaw and every virtue that he had. And he had no flaws. They just looked for him. There never lived another person like the Lord Jesus. It was God, man, walking among men in this poor world. And his character is above reproach. Temple was right. Jesus Christ of Nazareth was a miraculous figure, and all the world knows that today. As Temple said, he made stupendous claims. And so then the Gospel of John, we see some of these claims. They were bold. They were dramatic claims. They were direct. They were dynamic. They were decisive. They called for a decision. Listen to some of his claims. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the light to the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. And then that great stupendous claim, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to God but by me, Jesus Christ, Son of God. It's exactly what he's saying. And that is really saying that all that what he's saying really is that all the other religions are wrong. All the other teachings are wrong because I am the way. He alone is the way. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I've been preaching 75 years. I'm the 75th year. People don't like that kind of preaching. But sometimes you have to preach the truth, and the truth may hurt. But you just stop and listen before you shrug it off and throw it in the garbage, before you slam the door shut or turn the TV off. You just listen for a minute and see what he has to say. If you're ever going to get to the top, the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, if you're ever going to get to heaven, it has to be through Jesus. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus, who died on the cross and prayed for our sins, who was dead for 3 days and three nights and was raised the third day and ascended into heaven and someday is going to come back again. That's who we're talking about. And there are people who say, oh, I don't believe that there's more than one way. I think there's lots of ways to God. You hear that all the time. There's all kinds of ways to heaven. And they'll say, it's just like on the mountain. There's a mountain, and heaven is on the top of the mountain, and there's paths all around the mountain. And whatever path you take, it'll take you home. And you couldn't be farther off base if you tried. Because Jesus says there's only one road, one way, and I am that way. I am the way, Jesus says. And so have that beautiful words of Jesus and that claim of the Savior. We have so many ways of preaching that and teaching that and helping people put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Son of the Living God could form words like that. They were so simple. They were so plain. And yet they moved the whole earth. The most casual, superficial reading of the great statements of Christ will say at least two things. It'll say, first of all, that Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his total person and action, is the only way to God. He is not in one of a dozen different ways. He alone is the way to God. And so all of these other ways will never lead us to heaven, but it will lead to destruction. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, we're all aiming for the same place. You ever heard that? I don't know how many times I've heard that. We're all aiming for the same place. Well, have you ever gone hunting? You aim at something and you missed it. And whether you missed it by an inch or whether you missed it by a mile, you missed it. And so we're all aiming at the same place, but it doesn't mean we're all going to hit it. There has to be that one zero in. There's that one way. There's that one path to heaven, that one path to glory, and it goes through Jesus. Today, people don't buy into this wonderful truth of the Son of God. Instead, they guess and they hope and they wander in no man's land. Their situation is much like that, the plight of an old dog, and the big old dog. And he was in a large crate on a stand and for the trucker to come and pick him up. He was the saddest looking dog you can imagine. And a lady asked one of the attendants there, why is that dog so sad and sorrowful? And the attendant said, well, you would be sad too, she was told, if you were in his plight. He's chewed the tag off the crate and he doesn't know where he's going. There's a lot of people like that. They have rejected Jesus Christ, the tag. They have rejected Jesus Christ, and they have absolutely no idea where they're going. And they're going to destruction. And they are sad. And they're doing everything they can to be happy. And they're riotous living. And they're going through works. And they're doing everything else. And you need to turn to Jesus Christ, because he alone is the way. If Jesus Christ is the way to God and to destiny and life and to peace and happiness of the soul, well, then why every other way is not the right way? There can't be six ways. There can't be two ways. There can be only one way. There's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this world is tormented, and they're rushing hither, thither, and yon, and they're living like they're living a terrible life. And they're looking for something. They're searching for something. And because they don't have that true way, the way through Jesus Christ. I am the way, Jesus says. Any other person has traveled that way knows full well that that is the only way. Because when you come to Jesus, you'll find a fulfillment. Like Paul said, St. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says, I've had a lot and I've had a little, but I'm always content. That's because Jesus is there. When you have Jesus, you'll have peace and you'll have joy and you'll have happiness and you're going to see God someday. Now, I didn't say you'd be healthy and wealthy and wise. I didn't say that. You can accept Jesus Christ and still have a hard life to live. Look at the persecuted church, how they're living in hard times, and many of them giving their life. You may have to suffer. Look at Jesus. He was homeless. He said he was homeless. He says, the fox have holes, the birds of the air have nests. Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. And you remember the story, and when he told the disciples to cross over the sea, and they're across the sea, they're in the will of God, and a tempest comes, almost sinks their ship. They think they're going down. You can be in the will of God and still have suffering and troubles and trials. Just think of Job, for instance. While Job was a man, he was a righteous man, and the neighbors all said he was the most righteous man there was. But God said he was the most righteous man of his day. God said that. And what did he do? He lost his property. He lost his home. He lost his children. He lost everything in storms and fires and floods and all of the rest of it. And he lost his health and he lost his reputation. And he lost his health so bad he was out on an ash heap and he was taking the pots and he was scraping his boils. And his wife couldn't stand it any longer. And she says, Joe, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, though he slay me, I'll love him and serve him. I'll never doubt my God. And so this wonderful God, he comes and wants to come into your life. Jesus Christ wants to come into your life. And just think how he cares for you. He loves you. Even in all of your sin, he hates your sin, but he loves you and he wants you to come to him. And you just think of when he came, the triumphal entry, when he rode into Jerusalem. You remember that time? We call it Palm Sunday. And he's riding into Jerusalem and the people are so happy that he's coming. They're throwing down their garments for him to travel on. They're cutting down the branches of the trees and they're getting flowers and they're making all everything beautiful. And then when he turns the corner and they're coming, they think he might be riding a great Arabian horse, a great, strong, powerful, beautiful horse. But what is he riding? A little donkey, a young donkey with spindly legs. You couldn't know, can't understand I could stand up, let alone have somebody on his back. And that's the entry of Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. And when John wrote about it, he made his record as plain and common as he possibly could. This is what he says. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." How this lowly master came. And here comes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's riding on that little creature, that little miserable little animal. But he's so proud, that little donkey's so proud. He's carrying the King of Kings. He's carrying the Son of God. He's carrying God on his shoulders. This wonderful story. And I think Jesus is saying, I am coming to seek to save those which are lost. And he says, I'm interested in the little people. I'm interested in all people, but I want it for all of the people that maybe you don't have anything of this world's goods. You're poor and you're common. And Jesus is not like the warlords that demand powerful military men riding with him, or the politicians that want the people that have a lot of money or are influential and crafty. But Jesus takes the commonplace, the little man, and he chose his disciples when he's going to launch out his kingdom. His kingdom is going to control the whole earth someday. And who he picks these 12, and who are the people? They're not of high social standing. They're not of high economic or academic tests. They're just 12 men, and there wasn't a genius among them at all. As a matter of fact, right at the beginning, we don't even know what 7 of them were doing. And Jesus was saying, I want all people. I don't just want the rich. I want the poor and the outcast and the downtrodden. Abraham Lincoln used to say that God loved the common man the most because he made the most of that kind. It's a fact you can't dispute. I'm always thankful to God that he placed that a place in his kingdom for the common man. And when he asked me to be in the ministry and be his disciple, be his follower, I thought, if he'll ask the likes of me, I'm not going to turn that down. And I told the Lord, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. And I've failed 1,000 times over. And whenever I fail, you know what I do? I go to Jesus. And he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I go to him, I suppose 1,000 times or many more. And every time he forgives me and takes away my sins that I've failed and walks with me and helps me. And you know why he does that? Because of the wonderful grace of God. Let me tell you something, friends. The wonderful grace of God is found only in Christianity. All the religions of the world don't have the grace, wonderful grace. And grace is unmerited favor. He blesses me, though I don't deserve it. And when I come to him, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And you just try. You take me as your Savior, and then you try and serve me the best you can, and I'll forgive you, and I'll take you into heaven, and you'll be a part of my kingdom. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And so this wonderful Jesus, I think of how that he would just take about anybody who comes along if you put your faith in him. I think about this man, Wilberforce, and he was such a great, powerful, what a great man he was on Eastern United States, and he was an eloquent preacher, and there were revivals, and people were saved by the thousands. But this Wilberforce, he was so cross-eyed that it scared people. But God used him anyway. And you've all heard of William Wilberforce in England and how he fought the slavery. And he fought it almost single-handed. And he finally was able to get to the British Parliament. And he fought for the abolition of Negro slavery in England. And perhaps more than any one man, he established and secured their freedom. Wilberforce was a hunchback. He was a castaway and a put-aside man. God will use all of us if we give all of us to him. And that's what we're preaching all the time and telling you all today. Oh, my friend, choose wisely who you're going to follow. Choose wisely what path you're going, because there's only one way. And as God, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of destruction. And God is telling us, it may sound reasonable to you, and it may be something you've been taught all the time, but you better listen to what God has to say. There's just one way. That way is Jesus. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 7. He said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And you can find it today, and nobody can find it for you. And right now, there are some of you, many of you, multitudes, and you have a feeling, yes, I do want Jesus. I do want him in my life. I want to give my life to him. But I don't know how. And Jesus says, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And so how do you receive Jesus? You just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And the Lord knows that you've sinned. He knows all about our sins, but he wants us to confess it. I'm sorry for my sins. Now I ask you to come into my heart and wash them away through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And wash away my sins. And then Jesus taught repentance. And so you say, repentance means turning away. And then you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can. And I'll follow you and I'll serve you. Thank you, Jesus. And if you make that prayer, you have everlasting life. You have eternal life. You belong to the Lord. And if you do, then you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then another thing, we have a wonderful thing, is we have a little Bible study. The little Bible study is called The New Song. And you can get that. And the study this month, the month of November, is the Paul's Be Thankful list, the things he was thankful for. But every month, it's a different Bible study. It's free and it's postpaid if you write to us. And I'll give it again pretty soon now for those on shortwave. Those on your television, you got it on your screen. But I want you to get it on a shortwave. We just got one of our listeners from shortwave from Germany just a couple months ago, and we just rejoice in that. And so then you write to us. And then this film, it's an hour-long film, and it's about a little boy, 10 years old, accepted Jesus, and he became a pastor and preached for Jesus. And it tells about the struggles in his life and how God helped him and God was with him. And then it'll end, and in this picture, it'll tell about making that prayer to come to Jesus. Now, you should write and get this. It's free. We're on a free will offering basis. It has a value of $10, but you'll send it whatever rate you can, whatever you can give. And then you can give that as Christmas presents and give it out to different people. And they can see this picture, and they'll come to know Jesus. And so we're just praying that many of you will write in, Christian Worship Hour, all of you shortwave, God bless you, dear people, and radio in America, too, and Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need to have your gifts because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And James says, you have not because you ask not. You have to tell people if you have a need. And we're not underwritten by any organization. We're just God's people giving to God's ministry. And our ministries, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check every penny. It's all solid. You don't need to worry about it at all. Need to hear from you. So God bless you. So now I want to close in prayer. We want to pray for the persecuted church in Pakistan. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, some of them going through hard times, and help them to know that we're all standing behind them in prayer. Lord, we pray for those on sick beds today. We pray for the shut-ins, and we pray for those some who are so lonely. Help them to know that when they open their heart to you, you will be with them and never forsake them. And, oh, God, we're praying for the young people and all of the tests they have and the awful fiery temptations they have. Help them to take Jesus. They need Jesus. And the children, Jesus. I was 10 when I took him. And they can pray, too. And we give everything into your hands and pray that you use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank you all for opening your doors for us to come in. We just pray that it will help you to come to know Jesus. And those that are your Christians, it'll give you strength and give you hope and help you just as you lean on Jesus. He's there to guide and direct you. And we want you to know that God loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his son. Jesus died. When he died on the cross, he could see your face. And so he died for you, and he was raised the third day. Jesus loves you. God loves you, and he wants you to turn from your sin. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. The best way we know how, we love you. And so we go week after week after week. We'll have our worship service to help you come to Jesus and to strengthen you in the faith. And God knows that I love you. And you said, well, I wish you could show it in your face. Well, I'll smile the best I can if it doesn't frighten you. But my heart, that's what counts, not the face. And God knows that I love you. So God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.